morning, ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls, and welcome to the Sports Circus here from fabulous Las Vegas at the Fox 1340 Studios. I'm your ringmaster and host, Sal Tozzolino, and I'm here with the human cannonball. How are you today?
Absolutely amazing. It never gets old getting shot out of that cannon, Sal.
And Sideshow Bob.
Good morning.
He's awake today.
I'm awake.
Nice. I can see the whites of his eyes.
Nice. At least you can do that.
He's like under 20. He's, what are you, like 21 years old or so? How old are you?
22, Cannonball.
He's 22 years old, and he's actually here at 6 in the morning. This guy's he's my hero.
It's a Saturday morning, too. That's the important thing. What was he out doing last night? Who the heck knows? It is New Year's Eve. Right. It's New Year's Eve, and oh, by the way, this show is brought to you in part by the American Business Trust Company. Yes. Yes, I know. Look, the look on this guy's face.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What they do is they help companies go from startup, from conception to seed to acquisition. They do it all. They consult. They really know how to raise investment capital, and they know how to bring in change management for those companies that have kind of gone through the ringer. They don't really know what to do. Anyway, you can reach them at 657-600-1876. Also brought to you in part by Dem Knowles Boys.
And you can trust that.
Yes, that is really good food. I went crazy there last night. They are at 6101 Vegas Drive at Jones. You can reach them at 702-643-6768. Yesterday, I got two slabs of ribs. This is crazy.
Two.
Count them, two. I got an order of catfish. Oh, yeah. And here we go. I got 25 wings.
25 wings.
Right. This is like the 12 days of Christmas. I ended up with two pulled pork sandwiches, one pulled chicken sandwich. Yeah, no kidding. I even got a burger while I was waiting. And I bought everybody a piece of cake when I was there, too. It was incredible.
You're a selfless giver.
You know, it was it's the end of 2016.
When it comes to smoked meat and smoked meat products, Sal is your man.
It was the end of 2016. I said, why not? You know, I've got a budget to work through. Let's go ahead and blow it all.
God bless you.
But it was fantastic. And of course,
any leftovers?
No. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm, you know, come on, really? So, you know, in this show, what we'd like to do is we'd like to talk about some different things on and off the field, on and off the court, silly stuff, stupid stuff, because that's what we can do. It's sort of like the Saturday morning cartoons of Sports Talk Radio.
Some things you just can't make up, you know. Sports is not immune to it.
Well, here's one thing you can't make up. I read this a couple of days ago, and Marv Levy from yesteryear with the
the bites in the back,
right,
and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Marv Levy, 91 years old.
Wrong Marv.
Sorry.
Wrong Marv.
Well, you know, I was trying to make it right for you, but you know, you got called out on it, buddy. Sorry.
I'm a cannonball. What do you want from me?
You know, it is what it is. So anyway. So Marv Levy at 91 says, I can go ahead and take over the Buffalo Bills coaching position. 91. The guy hasn't been around in 30 years, whatever the heck it's been. Are you feeling what I'm saying? This guy is hardly getting out of a chair, but the Buffalo Bills are so desperate for something after the firing of Rex Ryan. You know, right? There it goes from Rex Ryan now to potentially train wrecks.
You know, I see what you did there, Sal.
Yeah. Well, you know. But imagine a 91-year-old guy, you know, hobbling his way up and down the sideline. Come on, young man, get down here and throw the ball.
I think he would really lean towards fundamentals.
Oh, he'll be leaning. He'll be leaning all right. Exactly.
Upgrade or downgrade from Rex Ryan, though?
That's an upgrade.
It's an upgrade. I mean, come on, four Super Bowls, even though it's four losses.
If you have to feed him and his brother. It's like this guy, it's like he's like a gypsy. Yeah. You know what I mean? You hire Rex Ryan and like 14 Winnebagos pull up. You know what I mean?
Right. He gets a cavalcade of Winnebagos, right. But you see, this guy also, you know, he did lead him to four Super Bowls. And one of them, you really can't blame him because there was a missed field goal. That's how the Giants won one of those.
Tragic.
It was, well, if you're a Buffalo fan, yeah, it was tragic. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a Buffalo fan.
If you're a Buffalo fan,
it didn't really matter.
It's been tragic.
Four Super Bowl losses.
Well, you know, so speaking of Buffalo.
Good memory.
Right?
Sideshow.
So listen to this.
Accurate.
And there's the applause. Thank you very much. So then you have, what the heck was it? So the Buffalo Bills put together a promotional video to try to promote the team after the firing of Rex Ryan. This is kind of interesting because, you know, there, we know the story, what happened to Rex. But what we also found out was that, you know, certain players were there. Most of the players were there to promote this video. But we found out Tyrod Taylor wasn't involved. And what that means, well, guess what? Tyrod's not going to be around next year. They have no interest in carrying him. He's gone. Now the question is, where's this guy going to land? Cannonball looking at me like, who the heck is Tyrod Taylor? I already know that look. It's that look of deer in headlights. Like, please, just keep talking. Don't make me talk.
I can talk about Tyrod Land somewhere. If you can't stick with Buffalo and Rex, I mean, good luck.
That would be Tyrod.
Yeah, him too.
Right.
Yeah, that guy too.
But I thought it was funny. It's, you know, he's the only guy that wasn't in the video. Like, what in the world? And so, you know, this guy's going to be out. Now, the question is, who's looking for a quarterback besides almost everybody?
I'm glad it's over. Is EJ Manuel the answer?
I don't know. Well, he's starting.
Is that the...
He's starting tomorrow. You know, who knows? I mean, it could be a broken Coke machine. I don't know. We got a guy in here that could probably step in and play quarterback for them. I don't know.
Tony Romo's looking for work from what I'm anticipating next year.
Tony's going to land in Denver. He's going to land in Denver. That team's ready. They need to win. Their window is very, very small.
They're known for having smart quarterbacks, and that's a good place for him.
Well, he's a pretty likable guy, you know, as I understand. I don't know. I mean, can he stay healthy?
The Mile High, man. I hear you heal better up there. I don't know.
Right. He'll be getting a smoke eye. Yeah, I feel great. I'm ready.
5 miles high now, so anyway.
Yeah, something like that. So anyway, back to the fun and funny things on and off the field. And Sideshow Bob, what happened in the Heart of Dallas Bowl?
The Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl.
I'm not going to give Zaxby any love. Why would I do that? I don't even go to Zaxby's.
That's the name of the bowl.
Whatever.
You gotta shout it out.
I don't have to shout nothing out. You could shout that out. They get no love for me.
So while in the shotgun formation, the North Texas running back lined up next to quarterback Alec Morris. And, you know, you've always heard some players get pregame jitters. They get nervous during the game. But running back couldn't hold it in. Lined up in shotgun. Projectile vomits right before the ball is snapped. Completely distracting the quarterback. Snap goes past him. He fumbles the ball. They luckily recover the ball.
Well, how do you throw up and catch the ball at the same
time? Well, he didn't catch the
ball. Well, I'm just saying, but how do you do that? Yeah, I mean,
it's like a scene from the Goonies or something. You know what I mean?
What have you ever?
The vomit went actually farther than the ball did.
Nice.
Good that play, but. It gets worse.
Give me a foot, 3 feet. What are we? Is it Exorcist vomiting here?
Couple yards. Yeah.
Nice.
That's like 6 feet, right?
So you said it gets worse.
It gets worse. They actually line up again, same formation, and it happens again.
Get the hell out of here.
Doesn't fumble the snap that time though.
But he makes it. He learned
from his first time around.
He makes weight for his MMA fight that night though.
Nice. Well, the MMA. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah,
I don't know.
Didn't we hear something about that with Ronda Lousy? I mean, Rousey.
Ronda Lousy. What time is it, man? You folks are getting treats this morning. That's quick.
Yeah.
Ronda Lousy.
How about that? Was she 40 some odd seconds in? Boom!
48 seconds. Here's you some knuckle sandwich, honey.
Right. How about a good old-fashioned beatdown in less than 1 minute?
I live about 18 miles away, and it stunk at my house. I'm like, what's the smell around here? It was Ronda Rousey stinking up the whole arena.
Right through the internet. And, you know, we're looking at a picture. I got a picture right here in front of me of Muhammad Ali taking out Sonny Liston, 25th of May, 1965. And you know what? Ronda Rousey hit faster than Sonny Liston. Done. Out. Over. She's done.
It was rough.
You know, all the hype and all the BS around her, I'm sick of it.
She didn't look good.
Look what Holly Holm did to her. Holly Holm made a complete disaster out of her. Very, very quickly.
Neck checked her.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, she did all of that. So I think we're spending way too much time on her, but I got to tell you, it was nice to see her episode finally come to an end. And could we just move on past the whole Ronda Rousey thing? Please, well, anybody?
Does it happen to... The one guy, he's alluding my name.
Oh,
yeah, the guy
McGregor?
Does it happen to Conor McGregor?
Get out of here.
I mean, is it lightning strike twice?
I still want to see McGregor have a chance at Mayweather. I want to see him knock that dude out. Just give him one shot. I don't think Mayweather can handle an iron hand. Because remember, this guy's fighting just about bare knuckle. He'll corner him.
You think so?
He will corner him. He'll absolutely corner him, and he'll smash him. Absolutely.
I don't know if he can catch Mayweather.
Mayweather's not used to getting hit, let alone by a piece of iron.
He's too quick.
This guy's got hands. They're anvils. You know the old cartoon anvils? That's the guy. And even if you hit him, if you hit McGregor, it's still like hitting a brick wall. Good luck. You know, Mayweather might even break his hand with those big pillows on his hands. I think so. I don't know. I would love to see it. But Mayweather has no interest in stepping into a ring with McGregor.
If the check's big enough, he might.
No, I don't think he will, because I think he's too worried about the possibility of being shown up. He's used to walking around with an entourage with, I don't know, $1 million in cash or some BS like that. He's not going to have that. Well, he'll have it, but he won't be able to spend it because, you know, he won't be able to walk.
Would the fight count towards his
undefeated
record?
Are they going to box? I mean, keep me informed here. Are they boxing or are they MMA fighting?
No, there's no way they would MMA fight.
If anybody's watched Floyd Mayweather 49 times in a row, the guy puts the V elbow up. Nobody hits him. He runs around. He's a technician. You know, Sal, that's why we're here. We got our own opinions.
You know what I say
to
that?
I think they should get in the ring together because he's not a boxer. He hasn't earned it. He hasn't done his diligence. But either way.
Diligence, schmilligence. Get out of here. That guy couldn't stand three hits for McGregor. No way. Because you know why? McGregor, he commits to everything. He throws his whole body in, and he's sold into it. That's it. And when he hits, he hits. It's like a wrecking ball. Not a cannonball, but a wrecking ball hitting you in the head.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but sometimes you don't just get to, you know, be in one sport and run your mouth and go get to fight the best guy in another sport.
Why not?
For millions of dollars.
Why not? You say you're the best? Fine, be the best.
Okay. Well, then let's see it in 217. Sal the sports bookmaker is calling.
I'd love to see it. So what happened in the NFL last week?
It's been a couple of weeks, and this story's been jerked and tugged for weeks now. It's finally come to a climax, folks. Apparently, it's going to end in a very sticky situation. The world has gone totally mad, Sal.
How did it go mad?
You can't make this stuff up. There's a security guard apparently caught masturbating during a San Diego Chargers game right in front of the cheerleader squad. It's 2016. Representatives of elite security recently said in a statement that they will not tolerate this type of jacking around during official duties.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. The video is posted on Facebook, so it's hard to deny for this guy. Just steps away from cheerleaders, Qualcomm Stadium, during a Chargers-Oakland Raider game. You know?
Well, listen, it sounds to me like the security guard played a little bit harder than the San Diego Chargers.
Well, the company did decline to identify the security guard, citing, you know, privacy laws. But,
thank you very much.
You know, they're trying to work with authorities. But let me paint some sort of visual picture for you guys right now, okay? This guy's on the sideline bashing the candle. I mean, he's actually buffing his own personal banana, bopping the bologna, flogging Mary.
We got it.
Forget it, cannibal.
People are holding their heads and shaking them, saying, "Are you kidding me? Really?
It really has.
We have a lady in the room. You're killing me over here."
At the end of the day, folks, I had to get it out. It's news that you can't make up. It's on camera. Obviously, this guy, he probably is going to end up doing some jail time. That's a wacky story.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, whether he's doing the knuckle shuffle on a sideline or not is really not our issue. But what I can tell you is that we are going to go and take a little bit of break, and we're not going to go to the bathroom. We're going to stay right where we're at. And we're going to come back in just about a minute or so with a special guest. Maybe 3 minutes. How about that? We're going to come back with a special guest here on Fox Sports Radio 1340. Okay, we are back at the Fox Sports Radio 1340 studios here in fabulous Las Vegas on New Year's Eve. This is our New Year's Eve version of the Sports Circus. This segment is sponsored by Seattle Dan's Pizza, Pasta, and Grinders. They're located at 8465 West Sahara, Las Vegas, 702-946-6262. This is our Student Athlete Spotlights. And we are here with a guy here. He's pretty good at football. I don't know. You can read about him. His name is Kenyon Oblad. Kenyon, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a junior in high school. I go to Liberty High School. Play football. That's what I do. I love it. student athlete.
Right. So tell us a little bit more about your student side. Because remember, you're a student athlete, not an athlete student.
Yeah. Well, the grades come first, and if you can't get your grades up, you can't play. So right now, I finished with I have a 3.8 right now.
Good for you.
So, yeah, grades are real important to me.
That's really important. And we have mom sitting here in the studio with us, so, you know, you're trying to be on your best behavior.
Yeah.
Nice. So now, Kenyon, we have a special guest today, and he is a former quarterback from the NFL, All-Pro, played many, many years for the Los Angeles Rams, also played for San Diego Chargers and the New Orleans Saints. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in Jim Everett. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Sal. I'm sitting on my elephant top here on your circus, man.
Nice. Get off my elephant.
Hey, they were just over next to the Tigers. I had the fire rings, but I just thought I'd just jump on the elephant and come on in.
All right, well, congratulations on that. You can ride it, and I sure can't. So, Jim, what in the world you been doing since you quit football? What happened?
Wow, it's been a long time ago. That's like a couple decades ago. But, you know, Sal, I think the important thing now, it's, you know, the big news here in Los Angeles is the fact that the Los Angeles Rams came home. And, you know, that was a team that I played 8 years for. And, you know, then I went on my own way, and then they left Los Angeles.
Right. They became the St. Louis Sheep.
Well, I don't know what that's one of the Super Bowls.
No, I know.
So, you know, that's kind of been the big news myself. I've been, financial advisor. It's good that you speak with Kenny about, academics, because, you know, at some point in time, a football career does end, and it is real. And, you know, it's good to have something to fall back on too, and having a, you know, your grades and something to do other than football is something that one always has to prepare for, because I can guarantee you, it's, you know, as much as we're sitting here, everyone retires. Some kids retire at 18, some after college, and some, you know, are fortunate to get a pro career.
Well, you know, Jim, a lot of guys, I'm sure a lot of guys that, you know, whether it's football or guys I know in baseball or other sports, you know, they'll play, maybe have a short career, and if they get out of school early, they scratch their head and say, well, gee, what am I supposed to do, right? Or they don't budget themselves. They don't really spend their money right, or they just make a lot of bad decisions. And really, one of the reasons we do what we do here is because we're trying to help the community, help the standout athletes in the community be productive in the local economy when they get out of school, and try to do something right for everybody. And I know you've been very good at that. Your background as a businessman and as a leader in the community, I think that's very honorable.
Well, it's just all humans. I don't think you just put it on the athletes. I mean, I think kids that go to school, drop out of high school, are going to have a rougher road than ones that have, set people have goals and things set. And I think that's where it gets down to. You know, you see where even people win a lottery and make bad decisions, you know, and
right.
So, I mean, it's just human nature. So I think, you know, talking not just about students or athletes or mm-hmm. whatever, I mean, it's just all of this, you know, stay busy, have goals, have something you want to reach for, and, you know, do it collectively. And if you can do it as a team, even more power to you.
Right. Right. Well, you know, and because this is Sports Talk Radio, we're trying to focus on those student athletes. And Kenyon's one of those kids that I think he's got some really good direction. He certainly has had, his parents have done the right thing for him. I hear he's pretty good at football, and I think he has some questions for you. So, Kenyon, why don't you talk to Jim?
So, I mean, just the first question would be, like, what's the biggest difference between, like, high school and going to college?
Well, are you talking about athletics? You're talking about the girls? What are you specific?
The girls are different in college.
I don't know,
Kenyon.
Man. There goes mom. I'm going to jump walk right out the door.
The girls are different in college.
Yeah, I mean, athletics, of course, academics. I mean, both of them, really.
Well, you have your mom sitting right with you. And I think that's the key thing about high school is, you know, you are with your parents. You are. You know, you said you had a 3.8 grade average, which utmost respect to that. I mean, but, you know, when you go to college, and like we all do, you know, you get to be a little bit more on your own. So your time management and just, you know, your whole era about what who you are, what you want to be, becomes even more valuable, and the stuff that your parents gave to you, you get to use. All the stuff you used to complain about when you were a kid, you're like, oh yeah, I should probably get that done. So, I mean, your parents, you don't have them there. That's a big difference. If you want to talk athletics with college, I always said this, especially with quarterbacks, and you're a quarterback. You know, if you're a high school quarterback and you can hit the barn, that's pretty good. College quarterback, you got to be able to hit, you know, the barn door. Pro quarterback, you got to hit that piece of straw sticking out of one of the windows. So, I mean, that's kind of how it evolves, you know, how big it is. There's a lot of guys that can kind of do what you're kind of doing, but you're doing it very well. But when you get to college, I mean, you've got a lot of competition, and you're the same level that you're pushing yourself now. You'll find new levels to go to if you want to succeed in college on the football field.
Jeff, that's a little bit of that big man on campus thing, huh?
I don't know. Big man on campus. Well, you've got to become big man. And that's the other part about it is, you know, physically, you're a lot different than when you're 17 and 18 than when you are when you're 21 and 22. And, you know, the guys that take advantage of that weightlifting and beating shape and all that have a true advantage over the guys that don't.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things I'm really struggling with right now is my weight, trying to get that, get some more weight on right now.
Well, you know, Jim.
Well, because you got to realize those other guys that are chasing you are now going to be, you know, 300 pounds and running as fast as you.
Yeah.
Run for your life!
And that was one thing I had to work on too. I mean, I was probably a, you know, high fours running quarterback, and I had to get myself down to, you know, high 4.7 just to be able to survive and get away from some of the talent. And that was different. I didn't have to really work on that before.
Yeah, that's something I got to work on too.
I watched some of the Huddle film, believe it or not. How cool is that?
Yeah, Huddle is amazing.
We didn't have that growing up, but
didn't they have reel to reel at that time in black and white?
Sal, I knew that was coming.
You know, you stepped right into it. What do you want?
We've talked about Huddle the last 3 weeks, so that Huddle, you're doing something right.
Well, you know, reel to reel back in the day when Jim was playing, things were black and white. We had Pong for video games. But that's okay.
I actually do remember with Jim Young at Purdue University. And Kenya, if you're thinking about quarterback and further, think Purdue University. But anyways, that's my plug there.
Go Boilers.
but what I remember sitting with Jim Young watching film, because we watched a ton of film, and he did have reel to reel. And we knew when Jim Young would go to sleep in their dang meetings, because the film would just go and keep lapping over.
The reel just keeps slapping the end of the tape. That's funny. Well, look at it this way, Jim. I mean, this is a young man that, I mean, he's already a big guy. He's like 9'12". He already weighs, you know, 290 pounds. And you know, he's gonna probably get another foot or three higher. And, you know, he might gain an extra, I don't know, 150 pounds. He could be the biggest man in quarterback in the history of the NFL, or not.
Well, Kenya, what are some of your goals that you want to have during your senior year?
Well, I want to win state, but we want to take down Bishop Gorman, of course. You know, they've been kind of controlling the state for the past few years. But, you know, that a lot of hard work comes into that. You know, I just got to get my teammates to rally around and, you know, play hard and beat them.
You know, our sideshow Bob here was a quarterback for Silverado, I believe. And so, you know, he's a guy that you can talk to, you know, once we get outside of the confines of our little room here, we can talk a little bit more about that. But right now you've got a superstar quarterback. Ask him all kind of questions. I think you're in a great position right now.
Yeah. Just another one would be like, what decisions came into when you were picking your college?
That's a great question. And, you know, my dad was a college professor and my mom was a teacher at a school as well. So academics played a big role for at least our family, or and even in my decision. But I looked at a couple different things, and the two biggies for me were, one, I needed to have a great academic school, and one that had a good business school. That's what I was looking for, because that's what I wanted to get into. And two, I wanted a school that allowed me to play quarterback. See, I was unlike you, I played defense my junior and senior year as well, and I was all-state strong safety. A lot of schools wanted me for either an outside linebacker or possibly a tight end. So, you know, I was looking at Texas and Arizona State, and they were recruiting me for, and they were straight up, they were recruiting me as an outside linebacker. So Purdue and Stanford were two schools that wanted me, or were going to give me a shot to play quarterback. And so that was important to me. So one, you know, I wanted to look at a place where I could play. At the time, Mark, you know, I think when you look at schools, you look around and see where other guys are going to go. You're going to see what kind of talent they have, what kind of history they have, what kind of culture they have, what fits you the best. Also, academically, how that suits, you know, I don't know what you want to do when you, you know, after your college degree. Some schools are better than others in certain areas, so you'll weigh that. You'll look at the head coaching, you know, which coach is established, which one do you think would fit your game the best, and which one kind of you connect with. I mean, there's every coach has different, you know, different thoughts. There's, you know, you think about the coaching carousel, they change quite a bit, you know. So for myself, it was Purdue had a great business school. Purdue had at the time Jim Young there. They'd been going to, it was the cradle of quarterbacks. I mean, Gary Danielson, Mike Phipps, Bob Greasy.
I think we had a Len Dawson there too, didn't we?
Yeah, and we helped recruit. You know, I helped recruit Jeff George to go there, and then he ended up going to Illinois afterward. And then Drew Brees there. So, I mean, that was kind of a heritage I wanted to be associated with. And so I think you kind of fill in the blanks on all those different parts between education and athletics and what feels good to your gut.
Yeah, thank you. That definitely is what's going to be part of my decision as well.
You know, Jim,
did I tell you Purdue yet, by the way?
You know, Jim, you said strong safety. You know, I thought of right away on the defensive side of the ball. I thought of a guy named, remember a guy named Stuart Schweigert?
Do you remember him
on the Purdue team about maybe a decade ago? Man, that guy was an absolute wrecking ball on the defensive side. And I, mm-hmm. you know, I'm thinking of someone as big as you as a strong safety. I'd run for my life. Hey, you know, Jim's not the smallest guy in the world, you know, and he's not really a beanpole either. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, let's face it, I don't want to get hit by him. You wouldn't want to get hit by him.
This is the thing I want to tell you, Kenya, is, you know, when you go to the next level, and I know you're 6'3 and whatever, but physically it gets harder to withstand the hits. I mean, it really does. And I know, you know, you're a young man right now, you're 17 going to 18, but the part about being physical, and that was part of the game that I brought in. And I think when you talk about physical quarterbacks, you might think about Jim Kelly, you might think of Ben Roethlisberger, stuff like that. But that's part of withstanding, you know, being in the bunker and be able to live for another day. I mean, I played, missed four games my entire career. And there's not too many quarterbacks that can say that. And I'm not saying knees and stuff like that don't go, but that was one of the things I always prided myself on be able to, you know, play consecutive games.
Do you remember the hardest hit you've ever taken?
I certainly do. They hit me into tomorrow, but no, they I was playing the at the time it was the Los Angeles Raiders, so I know that dates back a few years, but anyways, I was dropping back for a pass, I was kind of looking right, and I saw Jackie Slater was my right tackle. He kind of had his guy, but he was getting loose, you know, and that's something you can kind of see. And you do a good job of climbing the pocket. I saw that on your huddle film. Do a good job moving in, working the guards, and then moving up. But I was doing one of those things, but I lost the vision on my far left side, my left tackle. But anyways, I just moved up. anyways, I had to slide a little bit to my left, and I led with my head, and then I didn't realize Brian Piquel hit me right in my left ear hole as I was moving left. It was lights out.
Oops. Was,
yeah, yeah. If you saw the highlights about that woman's fight last night, that was probably about as hard as I got hit right in the ear hole.
Rousied.
Right. Rousied.
Right. You got rousied.
But back in the day, we did not have concussion protocol. And I took a quarter off, and I was back in the game.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I don't remember much of it, but I was in there.
So, Jim, out of all the people that you've been hit by and all the guys that you've ran from your life from, who is the most feared one that you have run from your life from, saying, please don't hit me again?
Well, it's really not that. It's more of looking at who you have to game plan. I mean, when you're going against Lawrence Taylor, and I would say that would be the number one guy we had to against the Giants. We were very successful at it, at game planning him. What you had to totally revamp your offense to just be able to contain him. Him, along with Reggie White, would have been the two guys that were such difference makers. You know, Charles Haley, he was extremely good, but there's no doubt that Lawrence Taylor would be the number one guy that you always had to have a back. Like, I know you guys run a bunch of empty sets, or you have one back in the backfield with no tight end. There is no way you could play Lawrence Taylor without a tight end chipping him or a back chipping him or doing something, because he would own you. There's no way you could stick a tackle on the man by himself and expect success.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to not have to go against Lawrence Taylor and all that.
Right. It's funny, right above your head, there's a autographed picture in the helmet right above this kid.
Yeah, he haunts the room.
And there's Lawrence. I'm staring right at him. It's hilarious.
Oh, it's good. Well, he was phenomenal. I mean, we're all human. We all go through lives and make mistakes, and LT's had his own. But, boy, when he was on the field, when he had his time, there was no one any better than him.
What a testimony.
So what about Mike Singletary?
Mike Singletary is I put him in the category of Sam Mills, and God rest his soul too. But those two guys, and I'll put them in the same category, because Sam was a little shorter. But you would look across the line and you would just see just crazy eyes looking at you. I mean, you don't want to stare at him. It's like, oh, geez, you know, don't stare at the cat like that, because it's going to like mess with you. But they were the type of guys that did so much homework. And when you go against, I remember Mike played against the Bears a few times, Sam Mills a lot, and both their style is very similar. But Sam would be calling our plays out before we ran them. That's the kind of anticipation they have. That's the kind of film work that goes in and dedication that these guys have about the profession. I see the same thing with the linebacker of Dallas right now. Forgive me, I forgot his name. But he was calling out the opponent's plays.
Wow.
Before they even ran them the other night. So wow. The professionals that you play against, trust me, are just as prepared, or even more so sometimes, than you even know. And so that's why it's important to be a student athlete, because you're going to be, and let's look at it, Peyton Manning, for example. He's a great example of what quarterbacks, and I look up to him, and I know the Manning family well, but he took quarterbacking to another level of science. I mean, he's got a PhD in quarterbacking, but he knows so much about the defensive side of the ball. And that's what makes him special, because he knows how he's going to be attacked, if that makes any sense about your preparation for the game.
Yeah, last question. What was your favorite win out of college, NFL, high school? Like, what was the best win you've ever had?
Well, there's been a ton of them, and at all different levels. I would say, let's go first, because I'll never forget my high school state championship winning that. We went undefeated team. and winning that state championship for a high school who had never won one before meant a lot. So I always remember that. And no matter how many pro games I played or college games, I'll never forget the high school championship. And so that's one thing I wanted to make sure I told you is some of the moments that you and your, especially your senior buddies are going to have are going to be things that are life lasting and you'll remember forever. Even Sal, back in his baseball career, I'm sure he remembered some of the great stuff that he did back in that day.
Every mound in Mexico, Sal pitched on. Every mound in Mexico, Sal pitched on.
Anyway, as you were.
So, I remember all in college. I know beating Michigan, Ohio State, and Notre Dame in the same year. That was something I always remember. Could I pick one that's more important than the other? Yeah. Maybe Notre Dame, because they were big rivals with Purdue. I was really the only Purdue quarterback to beat those three teams in a year. Or probably in the pros, looking back, Kenya, I would have to say beating Lawrence Taylor's Giants in the playoffs and an overtime win with Flipper Anderson was probably a pretty Flipper Anderson overtime caught a touchdown pass from me and kept running through the end zone. And they just put that on Twitter the other day. It was pretty funny that they even mentioned that. But you know, you'll have your points in time. You'll probably remember last year, except for that last game against Bishop Gorman. You'll probably remember all the games pretty well.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for all the advice.
Well, Jim, I think a conversation with Kenyon and yourself, and you know, I feel like I'm in the quarterbacks club. We have another quarterback in the room too. This could go on for quite some time, but unfortunately, we have to take a little bit of a break here. And Jim, we're going to talk a little bit about this offline as well. And I appreciate you coming on. This has been fantastic. And Kenyon, you know, I'm sure you're excited about the conversation. And we'll make sure that if there's a possibility that Jim and you can kind of stay in touch and so forth. What do you think about that, Jim?
I'd love to. That'd be great. I mean, I'd love to look forward to see what's going on. I know a friend of mine, Randall Cunningham's over coaching the high school you just mentioned, or he was. So, anyways, I hope all things are well. But I'd love to talk anytime. And thanks for having me on. And I'm going to get on my elephant and get on out of here.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you a little bit later on. Thanks again, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Good luck, kid. Bye.
All right. Well, that was our segment, our student-athlete segment, with Jim Everett. Kenyon, we're going to pick that up on the other side and give us about a minute or so, okay? Okay. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio on 1340. All right, we are back at the Sports Circus. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, at the Fox Sports Radio 1340 studios. This segment is brought to you by
Dem Knowles Boys
at 6101 Vegas Drive at Jones. Go there for some great barbecue, and you can probably call them and order up and get your order there right ahead of time. You can reach them at 702-643-6768. We are back, and we are going to talk a little bit more with Kenyon, our student athlete. He's going to stay over for this segment, and I hear he's pretty good at football.
I have a question, Kenyon. I think Jim alluded to the fact you guys were almost undefeated last year, and the only loss came to Bishop Gorman. Is that what happened?
We had one loss against Centennial Corona in California.
Okay, so you're going out playing some heavy teams, and you're looking for the competition. Been to Texas yet?
Yeah, we actually went to Texas.
Wow.
Austin Westlake, and we beat them.
Really? You know what? I have to say a personal story. Westlake High School came to every one of our homecomings and destroyed us and beat everybody up, and they were just elitist, and it was horrific. So God bless you. You went to Westlake High School. Do they have $1 million football stadium, or is it Pflugerville? Which one of it is out there?
It was the biggest stadium I've ever played in.
A high school football stadium in West Austin.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
God bless you. So you beat them like a drum?
Yeah, it was 21-14.
Oh, my God. They must have absolutely just did their head explode? Was it awesome?
Yeah, I think everybody was real shocked. And, yeah, it was a great experience.
So what do you think it's going to take to beat Bishop Gorman? I mean, these guys are like, they're cyborgs, right?
Yeah, Bishop Gorman, I mean, they have players from all around the country, so
You know, they cheat. Come on, that's ridiculous.
They live in a proper.
They got 19-year-old kids playing football. Live in a they're redshirt. They're players. Code. Listen, man.
They live in a proper zip code. They follow the rules.
Get out of here. Follow rule. Whatever. So, all right. So here's my thing.
Rules
look,
are rules. Sal, what rules. Do you mean? Follow the
here's
rules.
Your rules.
So what?
I got your rules. No. Here's how it works. Look, I've been to a lot of football games this year. I went to go see my friend's kid play over at Sierra Vista. He's a good player. Right. And so every game I'd sit up in the press box or I'd go on the top where the coaches were. And so here every other team shows up with maybe one camera, a little bitty camera and a couple of guys up there. Now, these knuckleheads show up. They've got tables. They've got satellite uplinks. They've got crazy stuff going back down onto the field.
They're knuckleheads.
Get out of here. They should be in a separate league altogether. It's not fair to the balance of the state of Nevada.
What's that team that no one will play them? They had like 13 forfeitures because the parents were like, I'm not going to let you hurt my little Joey.
I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what. Bishop Gorman, look, I got no dog in the fight. All I know is I watched them. I know what they do. And in my opinion, they're cheating the state of Nevada. And they're cheating every other high school. I got two quarterbacks in here that are nodding their head yes. And I'm sure if we had their coaches, they'd be nodding their head. Even
okay.
The mom is nodding her head yes. And she's laughing in the background.
That they do a little bit more than the average bear when it comes to trying to win at football.
More than
I understand
the average
that.
Bear. Oh, come on, Kenyon. What do you think? Hurry up. Do you think?
Yeah, I mean...
Jump in here.
It's a different animal. It's a different breed playing against them, but...
A different bear? There's a different... Yeah, there's the animal, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just another football game at the end of the day. You just got to win. You just got to outplay them.
Yeah, but they're cheating.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. It is what it is.
It is what it is. You can't do... I mean, you can't do anything about it. You just got to beat them.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, you know? And if you could beat them, great. You know, and I think they gave up... You know, what they gave up, before the Sierra game, they gave up one touchdown the entire season. Sierra scored three times on them with their best player out. But one of those touchdowns conveniently was called back for no apparent reason. And, you know, there's no instant replay. And I'm watching this. I'm like, what in the world's going on? And their guys are, their coaching staff, you know, the people at the tables, they've got, you know, 45 people at a table on top of the press box. And they're having a fit. Like, what the hell? What's going on here? Well, dude, you got scored on. That's what's going on. And you got scored on again. And oh, by the way, you just got scored on again. That's what happened from a team that doesn't recruit the same way you do either. Yeah. And so I'm sorry, but, you know, I got no love for those guys. I have no dog in the fight. All I know is that orange doesn't belong in this room today. How do you like that?
Well, there you go. Well, didn't their coach go on to be the new guy over at UNLV? How's he doing?
Yeah. How'd that work out this season? I don't know.
He's not the same recruiting abilities, yeah. I guess, from what I'm learning here, fellas.
Well, who knows? But I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick visit to the NFL because, you know, on Sunday night, we have a really interesting game. You know, 6 weeks ago, I had people tell me, oh, you're on crack. You're out of your mind, this, that. Because I said Green Bay
again,
was going to.
With the crack?
Right. They said, I said Green Bay was going to win out their last six games. And the reason that they were going to do it is because they actually had somebody else to help Aaron Rodgers on the offensive side. He had to throw the ball 73% of the time. Pass, pass, pass. And yeah, he's got great receivers, but he was also working with an injured receiving crew. Still, Randall Cobb is out. But my point is, you've got a guy, and you know, me being from Chicago, it's hard to talk about this because I'm not a Green Bay guy. But I have to, you know, call a team good when they're good. I have to call a player good when they're good. And I saw a Green Bay team that had no running game. They're passing the ball 73% of the time. And when they do run the ball, what happens? They keep their offense on the field. They wear the other team's defense down. They score 25, 30 points a game, and Green Bay wins. So I said this 6 weeks ago, they're going to win out. Everyone said, you're out of your mind and all this other crap. Well, guess what?
Run the table.
Right. That would be Sideshow Bob. Now you see why he's Sideshow Bob. Anyway. So
he speaks. He speaks.
He speaks. He speaks. And he's the young guy in here. Anyway, so this team has won their last five games. And they're going to win again on Sunday night. Why? Because they can. And they've got a running game. Ty Montgomery's going to run up and down the field. Rodgers will throw to Adams and Jordy Nelson. Green Bay wins the division. Here we go. Green Bay wins the division, but they're an early exit in the playoffs.
What's the line on the game, Sal?
The line on the game, if you just give me 1 second, the line, as I saw it, was 3.
So you're going to hate Green Bay lay 3?
Yeah.
So everybody, Sell the house, sell the car. Right. Kids, you're not going to college this year.
Right. This is from Sal the Bookmaker.
Everything's on Green Bay minus
and you,
three.
And you can hear me on Sal the Bookmaker on ESPN Radio four nights a week. Anyway.
Get even.
No, you
get
can.
Get ahead.
You can. But also, we have another interesting game here with Washington. You know, Washington wins. They're in. Kenyon, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Rams fan, so, you know, my team's not doing too good this year.
Hey, well, this isn't about the Rams, man. We're talking about the Redskins.
Oh, yeah.
He got it in, though. He snuck it in.
Yeah, you just talked to a Rams quarterback.
Yeah, I know. It was a really cool experience.
Right? So he's still drinking the Kool-Aid from over there. But let's talk about what's going on here tomorrow with Washington. You think they're going to beat the Giants?
No. I think the Giants are pretty good this year. I put my money on the Giants.
Well, you know what's funny? Tampa, you're going to like this.
There you go. His allowance money, right?
Allowance? I never got allowance.
Yeah, I don't get allowance.
My old man said, get out there and work for it. My dad always said, I'll borrow you the dollar. He never gave me a thing. I always had to borrow the money from him. No kidding. That's the guy. But here's the funny thing. So Tampa is still alive, and a lot of crazy things have to happen for Tampa to get in. Are you ready for this? I'm going to take a nice deep breath in this one. The Buccaneers have they're not eliminated yet, but remember, they need the Colts to beat the Jags, they need the Cowboys to beat the Eagles, they need the Lions to beat the Packers, they also need the Titans to beat the Texans, the 49ers to beat the Seahawks, and of course, they need the Redskins and Giants to end up in a tie. That's the only way they could get in, but they're still alive in week 17.
So there is a chance.
You're telling me there's a chance.
You're saying right. There's a chance.
Right. I mean, that's ridiculous. All right, guys, we're going to have to wrap this up. But I'll tell you, I've had a lot of fun here today. Great way to finish out the year. And tell me, any New Year's resolutions for 17 real quick?
2017 has to be better than 2016. The end.
Okay. Kenyon, anything?
Yeah. No, I mean, 2016 is a pretty good year, but, you know, going on. I don't really have any New Year's resolutions yet.
Sideshow Bob?
Let's hope it's as good of a year in sports as it was this year.
Well, that was a rather subdued answer from Sideshow Bob.
But
that's
agree?
Okay. No, I would agree. I mean, it's been fun, but tell you what, guys, we're going to pick up and we're going to do this again next week. It'll be next year, so I will see everybody next year. And I will also want to make sure we have a mention to some of our wonderful sponsors for today. Now, we also had a great guest in Jim Everett, so we want to thank him for coming out of the show. Jim did a great job, and here...
Smart guy.
You know, Kenyon's a Rams fan, so it was really a good situation.
An amazing guest, Kenyon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
But we want to thank...
The Knowles Boys.
At 6101 Vegas Drive at Jones. 702-643-6768. Until next week... Everybody, we'll see you next year right here at the Sports Circus on Fox Sports Radio 1340. Good day.
Happy New Year.